You're tuned into Let's Talk Up Close and Personal with Dr. Nathalie Chase Thompson and friends. Without further delay, let's get right to it.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, whatever time life may find you in. Yes, and I just welcome everyone here with us today. Today I have with me here, we have Pastor Mary Jo Jackson and Apostle Dr. Renette Slater Jr. Back in the day, I used to sit at my aunt's feet and different mothers of Zion, and even the old people, older people. You know, we almost in that category, y'all. The older people. You know, we would sit at their feet, and we would listen. We would listen attentively to the stories that they told. This generation now, they don't have time. They don't want to sit. They don't want to sit a while. They don't want to listen. And that's what's going to bring us into what we're going to be talking about today. And that's, what is your vision? What is your vision? Have some of your visions been put on the back burner? Some of your visions been put on the shelf because life has happened? But if we remember some of the stories that our ancestors have taught us and told us, we'll go back and dust them visions off, and we'll get them, and we'll put them in place. Just like Rebecca says, so one that sees it, he'll see it, he'll run with it, and that's what we're gonna do. That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna run. Leave our run on to see what the end's gonna be. Leave our pray on to see what the end's gonna be. Leave our shout on to see what the end gonna be. Come on now. There are so many people that are stumbling right now because of what's going on today. And remember, we live. So live things happen during live times, okay? And this is spontaneous. Like Proverbs 29:18, you know, I like the amplified version. Bless your name, hallelujah, Jesus. It says, where there is no vision, no redemption, no redemptive revelation of God, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. He who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, obeying those that have rule over you, obeying the laws of the land. Hello. Yes. Blessed, happy, fortunate, and inevitably blessed is he. Wow. Proverbs 29:18. So these are four questions I want you to ask yourself. Are you willing to go deep for your vision? Are you willing to go long for your vision? Are you willing to endure hardness as a good soldier? Endure the process for your vision. Are you ready for the answer that God is going to give you for the complaints that you may have, for the hiccups that you may run into, for the pitfalls that you're going to run into, just so that you persevere over and go through, come out victorious? Are you willing to endure all of this for your vision? So what is your vision? I want to share something with you. Have you ever thought about, a lot of people use Jeremiah 29 and 11, but they don't go from the first verse of Jeremiah 29 to get to verse 11. Understand that God has some things intentionally designed for his people, his children that he loved, his children that he called to be his own, his children that he said are the set aside, set out ones, those children who we are. He had some bondage for them to go through. He had some rough times set aside for them to go through, and he did it intentionally. He did it intentionally. We say, oh, God is a God of love. And God, he is, but he's a just God. But even through the Babylonian captivity, Habakkuk is upset about, because he was like, hold on, G. You mean to tell me you're going to have the Babylonians chastise them? For real? Are you serious? Back in Jeremiah 29, from verse 1 up to 13, God talks about the fact that not only I'm going to send you to these people, I have, let me put it this way, paint a picture. Walk with me, if you will. Walk with my imagination, because I'm a female Joseph. I visualize stuff. So walk with me for a minute. God takes his people, his chosen people, and he says, I am creating these people, the Babylonians that you know don't like you. Really, it's called jealous of you. Jealous of you. They hating on you. Bring it to modern time. Jealous of you. They hating on you. And they feel like they can do better than you do. I'm going to have them come, Lord, over you. I'm going to have them come and put bondage on you. I'm going to have them come and arrest you. How about that? I am God, I am that I am. Can't do anything wrong. Whatever he says, it's going to come to pass. He's going to have them come and arrest you. Pull you into their area, take you out of your zone, take you out of your comfort zone, take you out of your land, take you out of your country, take you from amongst your kinsmen, your safe, wealthy place. And he's going to pull you into the Babylonian zone, like a twilight zone, if you will. Like I said, walk with me. Not only does he put you into Babylonian captivity, he says, you're going to have children, you're going to marry, you're going to give your daughters for marriage, your son's going to marry, you're going to cultivate the ground, you're going to build, you're going to go on just like you were in your own country, just like you were in your own land. You're going to do all these things. Now that part they could get along with. Okay. Then he puts the icing on the cake. He says, not only are you going to do that, you're also going to pray for them that's holding you captive. How about that? You're also going to keep them in mind and keep them lifted up that are your captives. And he says, and you're going to stay there for 70 years. God says that he's going to keep you in captivity for 70 years, and you're going to stay there for 70 years, not one day sooner. And then I will bring you out. And that's when Jeremiah 29:11 comes in. For I know the thoughts I have towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. But we automatically want to jump in on Jeremiah 29:11, but not read the verses that are before Jeremiah 29:11. If you're going to read it, you better eat the whole loaf. You want to profess something out your mouth. And how many people are speaking and decreeing and declaring Jeremiah 29:11 over their lives and not realizing, guess what else you declaring over your life? 1 through 12 too. So all of that comes together. But guess what? Remember, are you willing to endure for your vision? Are you willing to go through for your vision? Are you willing to persevere for your vision? Are you willing to take ridicule for your vision? Are you willing? Are you willing? Can't nobody be willing. Can't nobody do this but you. This all on you. And then when we go over into Habakkuk had two arguments. He had two arguments that he presented to God. Two. Before you get to Habakkuk 2, 1 through 3. He had two arguments that he presented to God. So this is how God answers him. But in the process of God answering him, think about it. When you own somebody's job forever and they doing you any kind of way, but you will still go in and clock in on these people's jobs. because you want your paycheck. When you are serving other people's businesses and visions, and you're causing their vision to manifest, you might not like it, but you're going to do it anyway, because it's providing you a source for living. This is God's reply with regards to Rebecca being ticked off, because God is saying, I want these Babylon, why you want these Babylonians, these treacherous people that you know don't mean us no good, do this stuff. But you're giving us into their hand. But you want me to tell these people that, really? Assignments that he gives us that are uncomfortable. We have to be a messenger sometime for God to go back to people that we know not going to pay no attention to nothing we seen. We have to be a messenger of God to go back and relay a message God has given to us, give them the blueprint of what God is saying, and they still going to disregard it. Guess what? It's not on us. It's on them. So Rebecca says, this is the answer that God gave to him. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come, and it will not delay. Be quiet for a minute. I'm going to give... Either one of y'all want to jump in and say something, please do.
Well, I mean, because, you know, we covered the amplified version of Habakkuk 2 says, and engrave it plainly on clay tablets so that the one who reads it will run.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, not only is it, it's very clear, even in different translations, that it is singular. And to me, that doesn't necessarily mean just one person, but it's a singular vision. That's what I get from it, is that it's a singular vision. You can have multiple people, but the vision has to be singular. Everybody that reads it is going to be reading the same thing. And the vision is a singular vision. And then whoever takes that and runs with it, you see what I'm saying? I mean, I believe that it can be for more than one person, but the vision has to be a singular vision. It has to be a vision, a unified vision.
But if the Bible says, don't take anything from and don't add anything to it, how can it be multiple visions?
I'm not saying it's multiple visions. I didn't say that.
No, I mean, you said it could be, I'm sorry, it could be one vision, but it could be multiple people.
Right. So that the one, because if we're unified, we're one. We're as one. We're following one vision.
Okay.
If we're unified, is one, but if we're not unified,
okay,
then it's, you know, we're all over the place. If it's your vision and we are all on board with it, then we are unified and we are one following that vision.
You know what I loved about just what just took place is the fact that we actually had a moment where she stood her ground and she pleaded her case. And she made it clear as to what she was saying. How many of y'all, I know this is not part of a script, okay? How many senior leaders would be okay with what just took place? I mean, because this is your vision. How many senior leaders would be okay with what just took place? Either one of y'all want to jump in on that one?
Well, there's nothing better than a good understanding. And sometimes when we hear, we don't hear in the context of which situation is being portrayed or delivered. And so for her to say one thing and you hear it totally different, I believe that it was okay for her to give clarification on it.
There was no hard feelings behind it.
Right.
We were able to go ahead, deal with that right then.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and then we can move on. Dr. Slater, you want to share something?
I mean, I would just say it's just what Pastor Mary Jo just said, that what I believe just happened was the spirit of operation of clarity. The Bible declares, and you're getting understanding. And what I've witnessed is what's been going on in the body of Christ is because people would say something, and instead of doing what you did, they would instantly run away in their feelings instead of just taking a moment to say, hey, what do you mean by this, that, and the other? Mm-hmm. And instead of backpedaling, she went further to give deeper clarification. Because there are some audiences where you could have gravitated what she said, like I did, with no problem. But then there are others who may not have been able to hear what I heard. So for them, they need clarity. They don't care if I approve it. They need to know within themselves that they got it. Now, what I love about the word, when we talk about the singular concept, when you deal with the theological perspective, regardless of how you look at it, and this is what's happening in the body of Christ, it is singular. He said, write the vision,
mm-hmm.
make it plain.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. What he was saying is the vision is so universal that any man that reads it, regardless of what location they come from, regardless of what pedigree they have, regardless of what their background is, they will be able to digest from the vision. And watch this, they then run to do the part of the vision that fits them. Write the vision, make it plain, so that he that read it. So on one man, I write the vision. My doctors ought to be able to go into their location, and my uneducated folk ought to be able to go in their places, but it's fulfilling the one purpose. Now, what has happened is there are many senior leaders who get frustrated because instead of writing the vision and letting folk move in their own way and their own purpose, we begin to operate according to our own intellect.
That's
and we start to mess things up. I ain't Mary Jo. I ain't Natalie. I'm just Slater. But when I write it, I can't get frustrated because Mary Jo doing it the way Mary Jo do it and Natalie doing the way Natalie does it. Now, I got to throw this in since you opened up the door. What is happening in 2021 is senior leaders are making the grave mistake, Dr. Thompson, of allowing folk to come in who say they came to help. But while they're helping, they're not talking your mm-hmm. vision. They're sharing their vision.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. And the moment they release their vision in the house, mm-hmm. now it's a problem in the house because we got multiple visions.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know which vision to follow.
Mm-hmm.
But there is one vision, and that is the vision of the house is the senior leader, and everybody else do their part. And I wish you would go back to Jeremiah because, see, you messed me up. And I didn't come here to come to church. But since I'm here, we might as well dive right on in. Jeremiah 29, when you write it, and I love it because everybody always jumped to verse number 11, because I know the plans that I have for you, that is to prosper you. But nobody wants to ever admit that. How do you pray away captivity when it was designed for you to be captive?
Talk to me.
He said, watch this. I'm gonna pull it up because I got Dr. Mary Jo on and she's gonna hold me to the word. So the word said in the fourth verse, watch this. He said, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, watch this, who I caused to be carried away.
That part.
People don't like to know that God put them in a place of being captured.
That's it.
Verse 5, verse 6, and then we get to verse number 7. And here's the key. He said, I want you to seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be captive in. In other words, I'm going to cause you to be captive, and then I want you to find peace in a place that I put you in.
Talk to me. That's it.
And so we want to get to verse 11 and we want to celebrate, but we don't want to go through the process of verse 4 and verse 7 because it's easy to say the devil did it.
Yeah.
God caused you to be captive. God caused you. And watch this. I don't want you to pray and cause a ruckus. I want you to get right there in hell and find peace the best way you can. Because if you really want to get to the day where you can celebrate the plans that I have concerning you, you're going to have to show me you know how to dance when you're in the middle of the fire.
That's it.
You know how to praise me when you're in the midst of turmoil. You have to show me that you love me, even when it seems like I ain't loving. Oh, y'all
come on now. I'm telling you.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you. I mean, and that's it. Amen. That's it. We always, you know.
Jump to the good part.
Jesus. Go ahead, John.
I've been struggling the last 2 or 3 years. And you just gave me enlightenment. I've been praying for a renewing in my mind because I truly went through it, hell on earth, in the last 2 weeks over some situation at work. And I didn't realize until you said that God brought me into captivity where I need to find peace.
Amen. Come on.
That's what you said.
That's it.
Okay. And with that, there goes the vision. Ergo.
Absolutely.
Before I was thinking, God, why did you bring me here? I'm not the right person here. This is the wrong job for me. You understand?
Jesus.
But my God.
Didn't he do it?
Oh, Lord Jesus.
I mean, even to the point, if we think about it, you know, we always talk about the Ten Commandments. And we always talk about, you know, the children of Israel coming through their Exodus and how they stayed in the wilderness for 40 years when it was a four. Some people say four. Some people say a seven. Some people say 11-day journey. But if... but sometimes we can stay in our wilderness a little bit too long because we cause ourselves to stay in our wilderness. Mm-hmm. We cause ourselves to stay in our wilderness because we're grumbling and complaining about everything that's going on. No matter what happens, we can't ever see nothing good out of it. But I thought it said that delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. It didn't say it was going to be happy times that you delight in yourself in. It didn't say everything was going to be good when you delight in yourself in. You might be stricken in your body, but you delight yourself in the Lord. Job was stricken in his body. He had lost all his children. Everything had been taken from him, but it did not stop him from delighting himself in the Lord. He said, though you slay me, I'm going to trust you. No matter what comes up, I'm going to trust you. Man is but a few days and full of hell. This ain't trouble, full of hell. But guess what? I'm still going to trust the Lord. We say, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust in... Are we really? For real. Are we really trusting in the Lord?
Got to.
Feed the heavens and the earth.
In order to please
him. You know, I get on Xavier a lot of times about half doing stuff. If you're going to half do it, don't do it.
Amen.
You have to do. We must do what we do in a spirit of excellence. And we're not doing it for man to get the praise. We're not doing it for us to get the praise. We're doing this for God to get all the glory out of it. Our visions are supposed to be relative. The revelation for the glory of God.
My God.
Our visions should be relative for the revelation to the glory of God. What everything we do is supposed to be done unto him.
Yeah.
So that he will get the glory. When we do what we do to get, I mean, see, I love Jeremiah 29. I do. I do. Because I got some peace out of that a few years ago. And it saved me from a whole lot of headaches. A lot of this gray hair came from me fighting against Jeremiah 29. Just like you said, John, you just came to, because we got to be careful quoting scriptures. We are justified or condemned by what we say. We are justified or condemned by what we say. We'll take one verse and it sounds good and we'll run with it. There you go. We're gonna apply to our lives and justify, we don't go ahead of the scripture and read up to it. We don't go below the scripture to see, because we might be speaking to Jeremiah 29:11. Help me, Holy Ghost. Slow down, Nathalie. Woo! Jeremiah 29:11 brings trouble, brings tribulation.
But the kicker, though, as you're alluding to, as Dr. Mary Jo is alluding to, as John is alluding to, but here's the travesty. They find a word that fits them.
Mm-hmm.
And watch this. It's going to do what it's been sent to do.
Yes.
But what they fail to realize, that because they jumped to verse 11, if that's the only verse they know, and they're speaking it into the atmosphere, the word has to do what it says, not because you said it, but because his word said it shall not come back void.
Yes.
But watch this. This is where we get messed up, Dr. Natalie, is we done got happy because we seen God operate on verse 11, but we forgot that in order for 11 to have its full power, God has to demonstrate the attributes of verse 1 through 10.
That's it.
And because we don't know verse 1 through 10, it's easy for us to put it on our haters and the devil.
Mm.
And not want to believe that God said, this is what you want. And this is where we say what we say. Now, ain't no need of you enjoying my palace if you ain't willing to go through my pit. You ain't willing to go through what I went through to get here. You want the end of what I had to go through. But in order to get the full juice of what I went through, you're going to have to be able to encounter everything that it took to make what it is now.
Absolutely.
And so there are a lot of people who God has given a vision to. And their vision is laying, I don't know who this is for, their vision is laying dormant. Their vision is stale and dead, not because it don't have power, but because it's easy for them to work a vision that they ain't got to do no work and no labor for.
Somebody else's vision. That part.
Because with every vision, there is trial. With every vision, there is pain. With every vision, there is suffering. And so if I can bypass all the hell, I'll just come and take your vision that you don't labor for. And that's pastors in this season who want churches that are established, but won't go establish the church that God called them to establish.
Hallelujah.
Madam, y'all better.
My God, my God, my God.
This is vision. This is vision, and the power of vision. Power of vision is when you get caught, when you embrace vision, vision will bring your world into focus. Not only will it bring your world into focus, watch this, Dr. Mary Jo, it will bring order to all your chaos.
Just like a show. Right when the meaty, juicy part really starts, it goes off. Well, guess what? You can join us next week. Next week for part 2, along with Dr. Renette Slater Jr. and Pastor Mary Jo Jackson, we are going to continue What Is Your Vision? Right here on Let's Talk Up Close and Personal with myself, Dr. Nathalie Chase Thompson. So join us again for part 2 of What Is Your Vision?
Thank you for tuning in to Let's Talk Up Close and Personal with Dr. Nathalie Chase Thompson and friends. Be sure to tune in next week right here on Praise 107.9 for more raw, uncut, and to-the-point conversation. To contact Dr. Thompson, please visit LTUCNP.com or call 904-418-8611.